Wonderful day, isn't it? You wouldn't want to miss that, what we've experienced this morning. It's wonderful to be able to go on to have baptism and then enjoy our fellowship together. Okay, this morning we are looking in the second part of John chapter 20. I'll begin with verse 3. The title again, Jesus' tomb is empty. Someone was asking me a couple of days ago what I was going to be preaching on today. There were some other pastors, and I told them, and they said, well, Easter's over. I said, no, it isn't. Jesus was on the earth for 40 days, right, after the resurrection. So they said, well, that's a good point. Maybe they need to go back. And I said, well, you know, we can preach on Jesus and the resurrection on and on and on. I never get tired of it. So let's look at verse 3. And let's see. Beginning of verse 3, and I'll read through verse 10. So this is Peter and John. So Peter and the other disciple was John, went forth, and they were going to the tomb. The two were running together, and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter and came to the tomb first. And stooping down and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. And so Simon Peter, also came following him and ran right on in the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself, rolled up, placed neatly. So the other disciple who had first come to the tomb then also entered and saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scriptures that he must rise again from the dead. In verse 10, so the disciples went away again to their own homes. Last Sunday we looked at Mary Magdalene, which was the first lady at the tomb of Jesus. I'm sure she didn't get much sleep that night, wondering, you know, what was taking place, and she wanted to go and see and witness first the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And here we have Peter and John at the scene as well. And as we look at verses 3 through 8, it's the dawning of their faith. It's the renewal, it enforced their belief in what Jesus had been teaching them about the resurrection. So upon hearing from Mary, Peter and John started a foot race. They were running. They wanted to get to the tomb and see for themselves, just like you and I do sometimes when we're given information. We want to see for ourselves. We want to see it firsthand. And Jesus always says, believing is seeing. And too many times we want to see before we believe. But if we think like Jesus and believe in our heart, we will better understand, we will see the vision and the truth that the Bible teaches us about the resurrection. Then in verse 4, it states that the results of Mary's report is a foot race to the tomb. And the younger disciple, he ran faster, of course, than Peter. Probably like running a marathon. Then we come to verse 5. Gives us the initial reaction. Can you just imagine the initial reaction of Peter and John when they got to the tomb, so that they could get a clear view or insight of what was taking place. And John stops at the tomb and still going in. He stops. Of course, Peter's somewhere back there behind, still running. But John gets there first, and he stops, and he just wants to get that glimpse inside to see what is there. Of course, we know Jesus wasn't there, and he believed in his heart he wouldn't either. But he paused, and he looked into the tomb, reveals that it was not quite empty. Why was it not empty? Because Jesus had left his linens and face cloth there, and the face cloth neatly folded up, that it wasn't disturbed, or it wasn't robbers that came in and took him in haste and went away. And then when we get to verse 6, it gives us Peter's, his personality, his reaction. And when Peter arrived, he rushed and he saw, beheld attentively. I mean, he beheld it attentively, and the grave clothes, again, separate facial cloth, mentioned in the story of Lazarus in John chapter 11:44, and he stays inside, and he's somewhat puzzled of what really took place. He's looking, and he's very attentive, just like James says in verse 1, when we hear the word, our attention is on the word. Well, his attention was right there looking, and with awe, Jesus is risen. And Peter, you know, he didn't look even, or he didn't even hesitate before entering. He loved with all of his heart. I do believe Peter loved Jesus with all of his heart, but his love was impetuous and practical, so he entered feeling no reason why he should pause. Peter's boldness encouraged John even more, and as an example of a strong nature often does. When you see somebody, one else's faith, and they don't hold back, their faith is strong. Well, when John saw Peter, his reaction and so forth, it increased. It helped his faith as well. And then when we look down in verse 8, it states that John now entered the tomb also, that the other disciple, which is John, who had first, or Peter, entered the tomb, he saw, John saw, and he believed. It says John saw and believed. Of course, we know that Peter did. That's why he rushed right on in. So it's that seeing and believing to affirm the eyewitness of Jesus' resurrection. Now, John's account also demonstrates the disciples couldn't have invented this scenario or this event. They couldn't, because the resurrection, in order that it was a fulfillment of the Old Testament, of the prophecy. And Peter and John and all of those that witnesses Jesus' resurrection, they were very aware about the prophecy of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, even foretold in Isaiah chapter 53, talking about the suffering servant, when that would take place and when it would happen. And then the 3.5 years that Jesus ministered, Jesus over and over was encouraging and reinforcing what was going to be taking place. So all of this was going through their minds. It's kind of like Mary. They were always reflecting or pondering. Mary was always pondering and reflecting. And that's why we should ponder and reflect on what we read. Because when you read the scriptures, it just sets me at awe of the things and events that take place that are real, the promises that we know that is true, and that reinforces our faith. So the fact of the resurrection opened the disciples' mind to see God had foretold his plan through the prophets in the Old Testament. Now, that brings us to the foundation of the faith. You know, Jesus is the foundation. He is the cornerstone of our faith. And then verses 9 and 10 completes this section of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The source and the confirmation of our faith comes from understanding the scriptures, which verse 9 indicates here. So John reported that even after a long period of teaching by Jesus, the disciples still did not understand the scriptures, as verse 9 says. They still didn't understand. They saw, they believed, but in their hearts and in their mind, they still didn't fully understand the magnitude of what had just taken place. Not until they saw Jesus ascend into the heavens did it dawn on them, yes, all of this has happened according to the scriptures. Everything has been completely fulfilled. So in our lives today, as we think about this, it's a testimony on our part as we've experienced our salvation, the fulfilling of God's plan in our lives to lead us through the plan of salvation and being baptized and so forth, and reading the scripture. See, we too are part of what just took place and what John and Peter experienced. In our everyday life, we experience things that maybe we don't understand and we can't explain. But we know it happened because we witnessed it just like John and Peter did. It was an inspiration. So we are inspired to share what we know, what's in our hearts about Jesus Christ and His resurrection in our everyday life, which helps us to keep on pushing on or keep on going on, not giving up in our life. Even though we weren't there and experienced what they experienced, but we can just visualize from our hearts as we believe. As Rick says, you know, I believe, I love Jesus. And that's what keeps us motivated in our life, because we know that one of these days we too will be ascending into heaven, just like Christ did, and might be our first I don't know if you haven't flown before, this will be your best flight you've ever had, all right? Amen? I mean, it'll be a safe one. No turbulence, just a smooth ride in right into heaven. Just imagine that. So that should give you hope that one of these days, if we're still here, when Christ comes back again, you know, we may be. We don't know. But it will be exciting either way. And Rick was talking about, he said, I don't know what God has in store for me at this point, but he said, whenever he comes and gets me, he said, I'm ready to go. And I told Rick, I said, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Amen? That's what the Apostle Paul says. So, see, all of these things that we read and we study here keeps us motivated. So, do we too find ourselves slow of heart to believe? Well, if we are, we shouldn't be, should we? Because, you know, because what God says in His Word, it's it. God said it, and it must take place to fulfill His fulfillment of His life and what the Bible teaches us about eternal life. So now John concludes this portion, this event in verse 10, with the disciples going back to their own homes. So what do they do now? Now Jesus, they haven't seen Jesus yet, but they know he's risen, but yet he was on the earth 40 days. And it gives proof that over 500 plus actually saw Jesus after the resurrection. Now, that's proof enough for me anyway, other than what I read and study. You know, if we didn't have those 500 witnesses, I'd still believe, wouldn't you? Amen? What, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 15, where Paul says Jesus died, and on the third day he arose, and according to the scriptures. Now he is seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for each one of us. So even at that, that's enough for us to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, As we look at the conclusion here this morning, we see that Jesus' humility in his resurrection as well as in his crucifixion, his humility, his humbleness. He was willing to go all the way to the cross to die for our sins. And that's what he was telling to Peter and John and Mary Magdalene and all of those, Mary, his mother, and all the other disciples. And that's why in John chapter 3, verse 16, says that he still loved us, he gave his only begotten Son. In verse 17, that he didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but to give life to everyone who believes in his name. So that's an everyday practical thing for us. That's everyday news for us. And that's the information, and that's the good news that we pass on to one another. Now I know why they call the Good News Club the Good News Club, right? Because it is good news. And boys and girls, they love to hear it. Yesterday I met at Westport Camp, and we were planning for our summer camp. And it was discussed that so many of the kids that come don't know the basics about Jesus Christ. So this year we're going back to the basics about the Bible, about worship, about fellowship, about just learning about scriptures, taking them into the scripture and showing them the books and the chapters and the verses and how to maneuver from Genesis to Revelation and the prophecy and the salvation that involved Jesus Christ. So we're going to take these kids back to the basics for those who already are in church and so forth. You know, it'll just be icing on the cake for them. So it's getting the gospel out in simple terms so that the least or the oldest will understand. Sometimes I'm surprised, and I guess you are too, as we as adults, and as I talk to many, are not familiar with a lot of the basics or the things that the Bible talks about, the things we're going to receive in heaven. So we're never too old to learn. Amen? We're never too old, and it's never too early to get into the Word of God and read it for ourselves. So as Jesus demonstrated throughout his life, he responded to those who waited attentively and faithfully. He responded to them. Jesus always responded to those who called out or cried out to him. And he would respond. He was very compassionate, and he was compassionate in his death on the cross. So Jesus dissolved the confusion of the disciples when he rose again. He met with them and he talked with them and assured them. He dried their tears. He took away their doubts, just like he takes away our doubts today in our lives. Jesus knows how similar we are to his disciples, and he does not overpower us either, just like he didn't even the disciples. Even though our faithfulness wavers sometimes, we become weak just like the disciples. Jesus will often say, "Oh, ye of little faith." Oh, ye of little faith. Not meaning that they had no faith, but they had a weak moment that they forgot to pray. They forgot to read the Bible. They forgot go back and search the scriptures, the Old Testament prophets, as they prophesy exactly what's going to happen. From Genesis to where we are today has happened just as it says. It's a fulfillment of God's plan. And you know, that's encouraging. All of this takes place for the fulfillment. The things that we experience in our life this very moment, in all the world, around the worlds that we don't see, the other countries we don't see, and the things that are happening according to God's plan. And we are to pray. We are not to lose hope. We are to keep on keeping on. So, though our faith wavers, Jesus faithfully stays with us. And you've heard me say this, I'll say it again. Whatever God brings to us, He'll see us through it. He'll carry us through it. He's got our best interest in His heart. Let us pray. Father God, we praise Your holy name. We thank You for this day. We thank You for these precious moments that we've experienced this morning. We thank You for Your word continually as You have breathed Your word into existence according to 2 Timothy 3:16, that You breathe it into existence and it rebukes, it reproves, it teaches us all about the things that are important for our spiritual growth and our living here on this earth. Lord, we thank You for what we experienced this morning. And Lord, we thank You for the presence of Your Holy Spirit. And as we hear Your word, Your word says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of truth, by Your holy word. And I pray that Your word has fallen upon good ground this morning, whether everyone that's here or those that are listening this morning that needs that special touch and that special assurance about Your Holy Spirit working and living and teaching us and renewing our gifts and motivating us to be more attentive, to be more excited about Your living in our life and through our life each day. Lord, in this invitation, may we each examine and search our hearts to whatever decision we need to make, that we'll be willing to step out and make that commitment or renew our life or just come down for the first time and say, I want to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I've asked Him, forgive me of my sins and give me eternal life. And Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's simple as that. Lord, we praise You and we thank You for those decisions and those listening, whatever decision they may be making at this moment. Lord, we thank You in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.